John chapter 20. We're going to look at verses 19 through 23. Last week we looked at Mary, and we looked at her love for the Lord and her despair that she was experiencing because she thought that somebody had stole the master's body. And now we're going to look at the second stage of this chapter. From fear to courage. From fear to courage. Let's start reading with verse 19. And we'll read down through verse 23. It says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be with you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you now, Lord, again, truly thankful for this time, for this opportunity you've given us, Lord, to study a portion of your word. I ask, Lord, that you bring to my mind those things that I've studied. Lead, guide, and direct, Lord, throughout this lesson, Lord, that it not be of me, but truly of you. I ask, Lord, to again speak to your people as they're in need of this afternoon. We ask these things in Jesus Christ, in his precious name. Amen. Mary Magdalene was told to go and tell the disciples that he had risen, and they were still in a fearful state. It says that they were shut up in the building there. It says, when the same day of the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. They were shut up in a house, closed the door, per se locked it, because they were afraid of the Jews. Why were they afraid of the Jews? Well, Jesus had risen. The tomb was, the door of the tomb or the stone that was before the tomb was rolled back. The guards have already gone to report that tomb was open, and we're not going through all of this, but over in the other Gospels, it talks about how they were bought off that day. Somebody stole the body of Jesus, but we see here the disciples didn't know anything about that. They were afraid of what the Jews might do. So I guess I would have to say that we're not much different than the Jews or than the disciples at that time, because fear holds us back from doing the work of the Lord. Should they have been locked up in the house and been kept away from people? I don't know. It's hard for me to say. I wasn't there, but it seems to me that they should have been out. But they still did not totally believe that Jesus had risen. Now, this was not the first time that the disciples manifested fear. We've seen before Matthew chapter 14 and verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, remember when Peter walked on the sea, it said they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. They thought that some spirit was walking on the water, and lo and behold, it was Jesus Christ, their Savior. He calms them, and that's when Peter asked to step out on the water. As Jesus is warning his disciples about persecution because of their witness for him. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, it says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." He was trying to warn them and let them know that persecution was going to come up, but you shouldn't fear man. You need to fear God. Now, the Jews in that day, you can understand to a certain extent why they were afraid. The Jews of that day were a force to be reckoned with. Even after Jesus was in Galilee with his family, it says in John chapter 7 and verse 1 that he would not walk into jewelry because the Jews sought to kill him. Even our Savior didn't do that. Why? Because his time was not come yet. After Jesus' brethren ridiculed him, further on in John chapter 7 and verses 3 through 5, he tells them that he will not be going with them to the Feast of the Tabernacles, but Jesus ends up going later on, but secretly. But then we see in that same chapter, as he goes up secretly, and he disguises himself, probably some kind of garment that would be different. John chapter 7 and verses 11 through 13 says this, "Then the Jews sought him at the feast. They surely expected him to be there. In fact, they were even asking for him and said, 'Where is he?' And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him." Concerning whom? Concerning Jesus. "And some said, 'He is a good man.'" That was the testimony of Jesus Christ. "Others said, 'Nay, but he deceiveth the people.' Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews." They didn't speak openly. They didn't testify openly about what he did, who he was, and what his position was, which was the Son of God. None of them did that for fear of the Jews. That was the religious leaders of the time. They were definitely a force to be reckoned with. Today, in the idea of fear holding us back from doing the work of the Lord, we would do very well to remember 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 and 7. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him." Why? "For he careth for you." There are going to be times where we will fear different things. And I started to do a search on the word fear just in the New Testament, and I don't remember how many times it was mentioned, but it was mentioned quite often, and quite often it was associated in the Gospels with the idea of fear not. Jesus Christ would tell his disciples and tell those that were there that were ministering, he was ministering with, "Fear not. Don't get scared. I'm with you." Remember also, he told Joshua the same thing over in Joshua chapter 1. "Fear not, for I'll be with you," right? He told Moses that. He told many. We can see throughout the word that the Lord said, "Fear not." We will have fears. It's a matter of who are we going to go to when we have those fears. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and realizing that we need to cast all of our cares on him. Why? Just as simple as he cares for us. Now our Savior, and we can see there in verse 19, he ends up easing their fear. But how? With peace. With peace. "Peace be with you," or shalom would be one of the means by which we would say it today. Shalom, which is "peace be with you." "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw," what? "The Lord." They had a new fear once Jesus appeared to them. And let's remember some things about this transaction, about the situation. Their fear of the Jews changed because of the fact now Jesus came in. He actually just appeared. Remember, Jesus' body was gone. They didn't know it. They didn't see it. In fact, Peter and also John, they went into the tomb after that, and they even seen that the one that would be about his head was folded up and put to a side on the other side. So Jesus' body was gone. They didn't know what happened to it. They still didn't believe. We've seen that earlier in the text in John chapter 20. In fact, it says that in verse 9, the disciples still did not have full understanding that he was going to raise from the dead, according to verse 9, as it says there. It says, "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." So Jesus' body was gone. They still didn't understand the full scope of what was going on. And on top of all of that, the doors were locked. And yet, Jesus appears before them. That'd be a little bit scary, wouldn't it? I would think so. Probably be a different kind of fear, but definitely scary. I didn't hear the door open. After all, it was Jesus, but he brought peace to them. Not only did he say, "Peace be with you," he displayed it to them who he really was. If he could display who he really was, then that definitely would bring peace, because now it just brings more confirmation that he did raise. Did it not? I mean, think about it. What did he do to show that to them? He says there in verse 20, he says that he showed them his hands and also his side. That was evidence of who he was. They just seen that happen 3 days prior. They knew that there were spikes, there were nails put through his hands up on the cross. They knew that there was a sword pierced through his side where the blood and water came out. Turn with me, if you would, please, briefly over to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Let's read verse 36 down through verse 44. It says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you." This is another account of the same situation. "But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit." Sounds very familiar, just like when he was walking on the water. "And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat what? Before them. Further evidence of who he was. "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." He puts them to rest, gives them that complete peace over the idea of showing it to them. As if it wasn't enough just to see the nail prints in his hands and on his feet and the hole in his side. He also asked for meat. He ate. But then we also see, as Jesus was explaining in John chapter 14, that he was going to go away, but he was going to provide a comforter. It was needed for him to go away. John chapter 14 and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He was going to give another comforter. When the Lord saves a person, he gives peace that cannot be explained. Isn't that true? People can't explain. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Again, let me ask, when we don't have peace, when we can't seem to get peace, what are we trying to accomplish? What are we doing? Are we searching out our own strength? Are we searching out our own abilities to fix our problems? What is it that we need to go to the Lord? Why? Because he cares for us. So then we can see that the text moves from fear to now to purpose. We see in verses 21 through 23, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Verse 23 really was not meant or intended to give any man the ability to forgive the sins of anyone else. Never was it. Mark chapter 2 and verse 7, who can forgive sins but God only? Another man has no ability to do that. Mark chapter 2 and verse 10 says, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. That's Jesus Christ. He wasn't giving mankind or any man the right or the responsibility to be able to forgive sins for another man because we can't. But what I believe that was going on is that Jesus was sending them out to witness of him. He was sending them out. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you, verse 21 says. The whole purpose behind that is that any work that we do must be done with the authority and also the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Will it not? Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, it says, Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know what he was doing? He was sending forth laborers into his harvest. That's what he was doing. We went on in Luke chapter 24 and verses 45 through 49, it says, Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. He's referring to the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Now, was there a breathing of the Holy Spirit? It says that in verse 22, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Would the account over in Acts chapter 2 be a second blessing? Under no circumstances was it. Because if you remember, when he sent them out in his earthly ministry, he did the same thing. He breathed on them with the Holy Ghost, did he not? Again, any work of the Lord must have the power and work of the Holy Spirit. If it does not, then it is of little to no effect. Little to no effect. John chapter 4 and verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit to be able to perform anything in regards to the work of the Lord. There's all kinds of people that say, look at what I've done for the Lord. In fact, the Lord even gives an account of that. There are many that he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to set the sheep on the right hand, and he's going to set the goats on the left hand. And those that are on his left hand are going to be sent off. Depart, for I never knew you. And they're going to go through and say, haven't we prophesied in thy name? Have we not? All these wonderful works, have we not done them in your name? And again, he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. The Lord knows the intents of our hearts, and there must be the Holy Spirit evidenced in that. So they moved from fear to courage. They were scared, first of all, they were scared from the Jews. The second fear that they had was that Jesus appeared before them behind closed doors. He puts them to peace and gives them that peace. And then thirdly of all, he moved them from that fear to purpose. by telling them that they needed to go out and witness. And apparently the Lord rewarded that. Because if we go back and look at, or even continue to go on, if you look at Acts chapter 1, there's quite a few people that were added to that first church. We see that it was well over 100, was there not? It says in chapter 1 of Acts, which is only a page over for me, he says there in verse 15, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of the names together were about 120. So apparently they heard what the Lord said. They went out and witnessed. They testified of Jesus Christ. And souls were won. They waited for that breathing of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which was there in Acts chapter 2. And a great and wonderful work was done there by the work of the Holy Spirit. Not by men. The men were being used of God to accomplish that work. But there would have been no stand, no purpose fulfilled if they weren't willing. Let's be dismissed.